Thank you. We're joined, as usual, by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning to you.
Good morning, everyone.
And we're pleased to welcome back the mayor of Cranston, Alan Fung. Thank you for joining us, Mayor.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for having me back.
A settlement with the final defendant in the state's lawsuit over 38 studios was announced this week. As a result, calls are now growing for Attorney General Peter Kilmartin to release the grand jury material from the state's 38 studios investigation. Mayor Fung, you formerly worked in the Attorney General's office. Does Attorney General Kilmartin have a valid reason at this point for withholding the documents?
Well, if there's an ongoing investigation, that's one of the things that can prevent the disclosure. However, in my opinion, transparency is important. Most importantly, to get the Rhode Island residents' answers and confidence back in any future decisions by any lawmaker, by any chief executive going forward, because we're spending a lot of taxpayer dollars, not only on the settlement, but also that we've recovered, but we still have to pay a lot, you know, for the rest of that bond.
Before we move on, Mayor, what do you think the chance is that there would really be something informative and fresh in these investigative materials that we don't know already about 38 studios?
I still, you know, press for an outside independent investigator. I think that's the only way you're going to get true transparency from individuals. The transcripts from the grand jury proceedings will provide one avenue of disclosure of who knew what, when, and where, and why. But for confidence and transparency purposes, going forward, we need that.
Maureen, what's your view on this?
Well, my view is it's very interesting. I think Peter Kilmartin talking about that he can't release these documents because of an ongoing investigation smacks a little of Donald Trump when he talks about he can't release his taxes because of an ongoing audit. I mean, I think ultimately these documents have to see the light of day. And I think I wouldn't support an independent investigation, but at least this would give some closure, we hope, because there's such cynicism. And I think this would help put this behind us.
Scott, grand juries do have very formal rules. Do you see the Attorney General taking the right stance here or not so much?
It's interesting to see that Mayor Fung and Governor Raimondo agree on something, that we ought to release these documents. And at some point, the Attorney General either has to move forward with criminal charges or, frankly, just let this go out into the record so people of Rhode Island can see. Not that we're going to learn a whole lot, I don't think, but at least they can see what the Attorney General had, what kind of hearings were held before the grand jury, and perhaps this will bring an element of closure, although I'm not sure.
Well, officials did announce last year that the formal stage of the investigation had ended without criminal charges. But let's move on. President Donald Trump's executive order on immigration sparked a wave of protests around the country over the last week or so. Mayor Fung, as a Republican, I wonder, do you worry about the message that this executive order sends to American allies and adversaries around the world?
And that's why I issued the statement that I issued earlier this week, expressing my concerns with that executive order and its broad overreach.
But your statement seemed to go more to how the executive order was rolled out that rather than the policy. So
no, let me correct you there, Ian, because it was actually the policy and reach and breadth of that implementation of the of that executive order, because you caught up legal green card holders, legal visa holders, and we're hearing examples all across the country of individuals that are detained. I think that sends a wrong message to other countries like you are worried about. We've got, let's face it, immigration, national security are not easy topics. We should not be rushing to these with an executive order.
Scott, what do you say?
I think it was amateur hour, the way this was all rolled out. It looked really foolish when you saw different airports around the country with different tests of whether someone was going to be allowed in this country or not. And that really, there's no excuse for that. There should have been one standard. This should have been put out through the State Department, Department of Homeland Security, the Border Patrol, Customs folks. Everyone should have been singing from the same hymnal, and they weren't. And that's a serious problem for the United States. And also, the perception around the world is very bad. Whether or not the president intended it, and I've heard all kinds of things, it looks to a lot of people like he's targeting Muslims. He said there should be a Muslim ban during the campaign. That's only going to help ISIS and the people who don't like the United States recruit more of these terrorist types. People are just going to say, blanket, the United States doesn't like our religion, and that's not a smart thing.
Maureen, supporters of President Trump say there are hundreds of thousands of Syrian passports that are not accounted for. Are details like that reason to have a pause and take a look at tightening up the refugee screening process?
Look, there's a reasonable argument to be made that you want to tighten up the process. But I think the president's argument that this had to be a surprise so that the bad guys didn't know was frankly lame. And I agree that it was just a sloppy rollout and it did more harm than good. I mean, there's reason to say that we knew he was going to take some stance in terms of immigration. He said he wanted a pause. But I agree both with the mayor and Scott that it should have been done more carefully. And I think it was amateurist. But unfortunately, I think it's done more harm than good. It's set a very bad tone. And he's going to have to walk back and be more specific and measured about this.
Well, back here in Rhode Island, our guest Mayor Fung had a big re-election victory last year. That came even after a high-profile police scandal in 2015. Mayor Fung, you lost to Governor Raimondo by just a few points in the 2014 gubernatorial race. How serious are you about running for governor again in 2018?
Well, certainly. I just got inaugurated 3-4 weeks ago. There's a lot that's on my plate for Cranston, a lot of great initiatives that I'm going to put in, from business initiatives, infrastructure, and we're doing a lot with solar.
All right. But we're going to have a governor's race next year. It's not that far away.
Bottom line is this. I'm focused right now on the city of Cranston, putting those objectives that I just outlined into place. Who knows what the future holds? Like I said before, I've always enjoyed the role of chief executive because you can implement and do a lot of great things with policy-wise, putting together the budgets, balancing what is needed in Cranston or for Rhode Island.
Let me come at it this way. If you were to run for governor next year, are you concerned that Donald Trump's presidency would present a drag on your campaign? Because Trump is obviously a very polarizing figure, and we've already seen a big backlash against him by at least part of the electorate here in Rhode Island.
I'll leave that for you guys as the political pundits to, decide. For me, I am a Republican. I have never shied away from that, but my policy positions, how I act in office, how I govern is certainly my own style, and it's different from the president.
Well, would it be fair to say that, Cranston is becoming increasingly purple, I would think. I mean, so you really have an advantage there. My question to you is, do you see some sort of a coherent emergence of a GOP party that can, in fact, challenge some legislative seats as well as provide some sort of a system that could help Republicans win office?
And that's one of the things I've been promoting, not only in Cranston. And in fact, for the first time in 22 years, we have the majority on the city council. And we did it by naturally grooming a lot of young talent that want to get involved. And we have to do that more so in cities and towns across Rhode Island. Those that are on the council, encourage them to run for state reps, state senate, move up those individuals that are there to higher statewide office or any federal offices. That's how you build the bench. And that's what we've been successful in doing, Cranston. And I want to keep that up for the state level. That's how we're going to build a loyal opposition and party.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Roundtable, Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And Cranston Mayor Alan Fung.
Thank you.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamblett, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage.
Major funding for Political Roundtable is provided by the Rhode Island Foundation, using philanthropy to move Rhode Island forward. Details at rhodeislandfoundation.org.